from beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament, God is so anti-debt. He's always canceling debt. In the Old Testament law, they would cancel debts regularly. He didn't want people to be in debt for a long time.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk. This is Mark Cho. Great to be with you once again. It's great to get emails and letters from so many listeners that are indicating what a blessing this has been to their spirit and to their soul. I just received a email this past week from someone that mentioned that because of their job, they have to work on Sundays and cannot be at church regularly. And this woman thanked us for this broadcast and said, "You have become my spiritual meal throughout the week. I'm trying to change my job and get back to church on Sunday, but for now, this is helping me stay strong in God." And she indicated how her soul has been ministered and fed and encouraged in God. And I hope that many of you use this broadcast as a supplement for your spiritual diet. Now, in no way should this ever be a substitute for your church attendance and being involved in a community of faith. Radio, television, books can never substitute being part of a community of faith. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you to do whatever is in your power to be on church on Sunday. But bless you. May your heart continue to grow in God. May you dive into the Word and love the Word, and may you get the most out of what God has for you each day. There's something extremely powerful about the living Word of God, and I hope that comes across in this broadcast. So let's prepare our hearts to hear the living Word.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue on with Pastor Mark's message called The Law of Source today, which is from his brand new series entitled God Provides. Our text will be from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Verses 6 through 9. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
If you are given something, entrusted with something, you know that you're not the owner, someone else is the owner. You're always looking to the owner and say, "I want to make sure I do this the right way, the way you want me to do it in this area." That's what a manager becomes. Now, here's the thing. Some of us need to understand the concept of being a steward and a manager, because some of us have walked around as though we were little owners. "This is mine. I earned it. I'll do whatever I want with it." And I kind of have this idea that, hey, this is mine. My stuff. I can spin, use, whatever. However, why? It's mine. You see that paycheck? Whose name was on that paycheck? Some fathers have had this conversation in their house. "Whose name is on that paycheck? I didn't see your name. I didn't see your name. I didn't see yours. My name, my work, do what I want, my name on the paycheck, my stuff." The problem with that is that it's not biblical. Oh, you can act like the owner. You're like the valet boy. That some guy pulls in with his nice Mercedes and parks it there and says, "Hey, take good care of it, okay?" He gives you the keys and you get in that thing and you start driving around like, "Hey, this is like, it's like mine." Like to cruise around the block a few times, skid the wheels a little bit. Someone comes up to you, give him like a little look. Hey, you can play like you own it. You can act like you own it, but listen, the bottom line is that it has a rightful owner, and you're not the rightful owner. You're using it, but that owner can take it away when he wants to. That owner can give more when he wants to. And if you don't treat it right, if you come back with a few dents, man, you're in big trouble, because you haven't used what the owner entrusted to you in the right way. Now, understanding the concept of stewardship and ownership, there's three choices that we have to make when we really understand this concept. I'm going to give these to you pretty quickly, so hang on, take notes, write fast. Since God is the source of all I possess, the first choice I need to make is I choose to celebrate what has been entrusted to me. Since God is the owner, I choose to celebrate what has been trusted to me. You know what we're talking about here? We're talking about contentment. I love what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said he will never leave you nor forsake you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and into destruction. Contentment is not apathy. Contentment is not lack of motivation. Contentment is not just a laissez-faire attitude. Contentment is a sense of, this is what I have. I will rejoice in it. I will operate with an attitude of gratitude. I will manage what I have well, and I will become someone that the owner can entrust more with because I celebrate what I have. See, some of you, before God can ever do more, give more, entrust more, some of us need to, first of all, learn to be content with what we have and celebrate with what we have. The Bible talks about all the time an attitude of gratitude. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See, some of us spend a lot of time thinking and talking about what we don't have, which takes away our attitude of contentment with what we do have. You get your paycheck and you say, this is what I got? Man, that guy over there, he's making like $3 more an hour than I'm making. And you get your paycheck and you kind of despise your paycheck. You get in your car, you open your door, drive that car around. Maybe it was a car like I had a little while back. The door wouldn't open from the inside. I don't know what was happening with it. It wouldn't open on my wife's side. And then the window stopped working and my window wouldn't go down. If I went to an ATM, I had to open the door and like this, trying to figure out ATM. My wife kind of loved the fact that the door would not open, because anytime she came to the car, I had to go out the car, open, you know, get the key and open it for her, because it just wouldn't open. So, you know, she just said, maybe God's trying to teach you something, you know, just, you know, I had to open it with the key. Couldn't open it from the inside. Couldn't just drive and say, open the door. I have to get out, drive it, open it up. And maybe you have one of those and you despise what you have right now. Piece of junk. You know, sometimes we have, here's the thing. Whatever God gives you is a gift of God. And you do not look at God's gift and despise what God has given to you. You celebrate what he's given to you. You bless God for what you currently have. You thank God for what now is entrusted to you. You bless him that he has honored you with the fact of entrusting you with this. And you thank God and are content with what you have, opening, treating what you have well. Because if God gives you something and you despise it and you complain about it and you treat it badly and you expect, God, give me something else. God looks at what he's given you and God says, if you treat it that way, why should I give you something better? And by the way, you think, well, if I had something better, I'd be a lot more content. Discontentment is a disease of the heart. Even if you had the latest and the best, it would be only a short matter of time before you would be discontent with that as well. Contentment, it starts, a steward starts by not despising what he has. If you're a nanny and someone says, hey, I'm going to entrust my baby to you. It's not your baby, it's my baby. I'm entrusting to you. Take care of this baby while I'm at work these hours. And you look at the baby and you constantly complain. You know, your baby's ugly. I think your baby's slow. You know, it doesn't catch on. Your baby has a nasty attitude all the time. I really can't stand your baby. I wish you'd get a better baby than this one. I'm going to tell you, that mom, that dad, they're not going to be too happy with having you as the nanny of that baby. Now, everything you said may be true. But the point is, hey, you are content. You bless the baby. You thank God for the baby. You talk to the parent about the baby and say, hey, this baby here, I'm really glad you've entrusted this. I'm going to do the best with this baby. I'm going to work with this baby. If they have faults, I'm going to help out as much as I can with this baby. I'm going to train this baby. I'm going to love this baby. I am so thankful that I can take care of your baby. It's that kind of attitude that God is looking for in our lives. And so as a steward, some of you need to get on your face, on your knees and say, forgive me because I have complained about everything I have. I've been complaining about my house, about my clothes, about my boots, about my television, about my computer, about my everything that I've had. I've been complaining about all of it. And I realize I need to bless God and be content and honor God and start lifting up a praise in his name over what I have. The second thing you need to understand as a steward is this. Not only do you need to be content with what God has given you, but the second thing you need to understand is that since God is the source and owner of all that you possess, since he's the source and owner of all that you possess, I choose to walk in freedom and not let these resources come under the mastery of others. You see, here's what happens. Listen, not only are we to be content, but we're also not to allow what God has been given to us come under the power and the mastery of others. If an owner loans me their house and he says, take care, good care of my house, do the lawn, make sure there's well upkeep, you can live in it, hey, enjoy my big TV, stay there wherever, whenever you want. And the owner says that to me, I say, good, thank you. And then the owner's been gone a while. He doesn't check that much. I'm able to live there, kick back. But you know, I decide, hey, I want some extra income. The owner never comes here. He never uses it. So I'm going to go out and sublease it. So you go out and you make a deal and someone else moves into that house and someone else signs a contract. Now you're not the owner, but you sign a contract. Now you're getting income and someone else now has mastery over your home. And the owner calls you up and says, hey, by the way, I got some relatives coming into town. I want them to stay at my house. And you say, well, hold on a second. You know, see, we got a little problem here. You see, there's some people living in there. I'm not in full control over what you gave me. The owner's going to say, hold on.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Law of Source, which is from our series called God Provides. Before we return to our message, stay tuned and I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark and his message called The Law of Source.
Why aren't you in full control? Why are you giving my stuff to someone else when I want to be the master and owner of what I have? This is exactly what happens when we get ourselves in big time debt. When we get ourselves into debt, what happens is we take what God has given to us and we bring someone else over control, in control of what we have. This is what scripture says about debt. Listen, Proverbs 22 verse 2. The rich rule over the poor and the borrower is the servant to the lender. Notice what it says. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe him taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Listen, the borrower becomes the slave to the lender. And here's the thing. What you possess and what you have cannot have two masters. The more in debt you get, the more enslaved you become to credit cards and consumer debt, what happens is you start having less and less choices. You can't say no to overtime. You can't say no to a second job. You can't say no to working on Sunday. You can't say no. Why? Suddenly, you have two masters. You're trying to serve God, but you have the other master that drives you as well. And you find yourself torn between two because you want to serve God, you want to do, but you have this other. You can't really tithe. You can't really give. You can't go on missions trips. You can't. Why? I owe, so off to work I go. We said, how did I get there? Well, because I bought things I didn't need with money really I couldn't afford to impress people that I didn't like. That's why God is so, from beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament, why God is so anti-debt. He's always canceling debt. In the Old Testament law, they would cancel debts regularly. He didn't want people to be in debt for a long time. He's the canceler of the debt of our sin. He's the one that wants to get us out of debt. Because why? Why? What is it about debt that God doesn't like? God wants to be the master and doesn't want competing mastery over our lives. When we get into debt, when we are in debt, if I owe a debt to society because of a crime, I'm put in prison. I may be a free man in my spirit, but I am not a free man because I'm behind the bars in jail. God wants us to live free to fulfill his purposes and not to be mastered by anything in our life. And so one of the emphasis of any believer is get out of debt. Stay out of debt. Make it a goal in your life. I will not get myself into consumer debt. Some of you need to cut up credit cards. Some of you need to make a progress. You slid down the slope of debt for so long, you're not going to get out of debt right away. But if you choose to get out of debt, you can get out of debt. It's God's will for you to get out of debt. And thirdly and lastly, since God is the source and owner of all that I possess, listen, I choose, since he's the source and owner of all that I possess, then I'm choosing by his grace, I'm choosing by his God-given power, that I will begin to manage and I will be a steward and run his, what he has given to me according to his values. Since God is the source and owner of all that I possess, what I give, what I save, how I spend, I will do according to kingdom values and not just my own values. Are you tracking with me? Okay, let me close up with this because this is huge. There are two principles that are given here. Two principles I want you to understand. And it's this. I believe that we need to operate our finances according to the will of God. We need to be asking ourselves, God, what do you want? And when we operate our money and our principles according to what he wants, then God finds a faithful steward that he can entrust more with. So here's two quick principles you need to understand. It's this. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 talks about the stewardship principles. What I do with the little shows what I will do with more. 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with the very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with the little, very little will also be dishonest with much. So I have to ask myself this question. What am I doing with what God has given to me right now? What am I doing? If God sees that what I am honoring him with the little that I have, it opens up the door for God to say, I've found someone that can be entrusted. I can give more to this person because they are faithful in what they have. If I am not being faithful with the little he's given me, we complain and say, well, if I just had more, I'd be more faithful. And God is saying, what? I've given you that and you're not handling it well and you want more? so that you can mismanage more? No way. To him who has much, more will be given, and to him who has little, it'll be even be taken away. It's a management principle. The way we manage our money and resources and wealth, if we align it with God and his principles, then God says, aha, I found a steward, a person that is faithful that I can entrust more with. That's true, by the way, not only in finances, but in every area of our life. The second stewardship principle is found in the following verse. The way I manage my money gives insight into my spiritual life. Verse 16:11. So if we have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust us? Who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? In other words, listen to me well. Some of us think that our spiritual life is different from our spiritual life is spiritual, but our money life has to do with accounting. And here's what I want to say. Your spiritual life influences every area of your life. Your money and your paycheck and how you manage it, it's a spiritual issue, not just an accounting issue. How you think in your mind is a spiritual issue, not just a psychological issue. How you manage your body is not just a health issue, it's a spiritual issue. How you operate in your marriage is not just a relational issue, it's a spiritual issue. Our spiritual life infiltrates every single area of our life. And so therefore, every area of our life needs to be aligned with the will of God in our life so that the favor of God can flow in greater measure upon all that we do and say. Amen? Amen. So here's how I'm going to close our time together. I'm going to ask you just to stand for a moment. We've done this before. I'm going to do it again. Some of these principles I've taught you before, but I feel like every year I have to make sure we teach these principles because they're life-changing. If you have a wallet this morning or a purse, some kind that represents your wealth and how you manage your money, I want you to pull it out. Pull it out. You say, Pastor, I'm so broke, I don't even have a wallet. Just, hey, pull out an empty pocket like this and just pray over it, okay? If you have nothing, just pull out an empty pocket and just say, oh, Lord, I'm going to pray over my empty pocket. I want something to symbolize where you keep your money. I want you to take your wallet or your purse, whatever it is, I want you to put it into your hand. I want you to understand this is a spiritual matter, not just an accounting matter, not just a mathematical matter, not just a not just having to do with dollars and cents. And there's a power statement that this is a modified version of a power statement that I've given you before. But I think that the way we think about our finances affects what we will do with our finances. And I think sometimes we need to speak into our finances. We need to state what we're doing. We need to declare the principles that we're operating by. We need to align ourselves with God and say, God, this is where I'm heading. And I think, can we get the power statement on the PowerPoint? I want us to read it together. Declare it over our wallets, our there you go. All right. I want you to put your hand on your wallet, put your hand on your purse, and we're going to speak into our finances even right now under the power statement. Can you speak it together? I declare that God is the owner of all that I possess. His plan is that I walk in overflow and joy in every area of my life. The way I manage my money is a spiritual matter. My giving, saving, investing, and spending are a reflection of my spiritual life and worship. I am choosing to handle my money in a way that allows me to be in the center of God's blessing zone. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to the second half of The Law of Source, which is from our series called God Provides. This has been Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.